rising up so quickly this afternoon. We can't say that we know for sure that we have something from the Lord, but we do sense it at times. I'd like to first of all mention, in connection with this hymn that we have just sung, it's another hymn in a series of hymns that we've had in the last couple of days that bring me to say that I don't think I've ever experienced a time where the hymns so consistently have been used of God to just bring out what is really upon our hearts consistently. And what we have in this hymn really expresses, I think, what our hearts would desire to say, and how wonderful these hymns are, that, and how they can express what is really upon our hearts so much better than we. How we look forward to that time when the bridegroom and the bride are seen in glory ever, forever satisfied. Isn't that what this whole human race is going for? Satisfaction? And yet we have it. We have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in our meditations in the book of Ruth, we have seen a young woman who came into tremendous blessing, but she was a stranger. And what I just wonder is, why was it a stranger that came into blessing? Where were all the rest? Where were those who really had a title for that blessing? Where were they? Well, I trust the Lord will give us something this afternoon for our hearts and for our consciences. We see the feast that Ruth had. What a wonderful feast that was. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 14. We see another feast there. We see different ones invited. Luke chapter 14. Now I believe that this chapter would answer for us the question, where were those that really had a right to be there? And we often take up this chapter and we enjoy it so much in the gospel. But I would not like to think that that would be where the application would stop. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Well, we'll read verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Or we can say amen to that. Then said he unto him, A certain man, this is the Lord Jesus speaking now, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now I would like to take the liberty this afternoon of applying this chapter, not in the gospel, but as we go on, after we're saved, have we not heard an invitation to come and to feed with this certain man? Have we not heard the voice of the Father calling us to come up near to himself so that we might fellowship with him about his beloved Son? Have we not heard that? So the servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant go out quickly into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Well, there's something here for our hearts, and there is something for our consciences too. For our hearts, can we not see that God is longing to draw every one of us close to Himself and share with us what He's had before Him all eternity? A brother and I were speaking this morning before the breaking of bread, I think it was, and we were just rejoicing at how that you open the book at the very beginning, and as the brother said, it appears that the Father is sitting on the edge of His seat, just waiting to tell us about His own beloved Son. And so it's that way through the whole book. We just have the Father coming out, and in so many ways, He's telling us of those unsearchable riches which are in Christ. And He's inviting us to feed upon Him. And we've had a taste of that in the last couple of days, and it has been indeed lovely to our hearts. Well, come, for all things are now ready. The work is complete, and you can enter into this feast of love and fellowship. But in verse 18, it says, "They all with one consent began to make excuse." Now, the Lord was speaking here, I believe, in its primary application to those religious Jews, those in authority in the land, those who He could come to, and they should know who He was, and they should be able to accept this offer. But they began to make excuse. And I would like to liken that, if I may, this afternoon, those who possibly have been raised in Christian families, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been sliding along in a religious way. We do everything outwardly right, as the brother spoke this morning in the Sunday school, even turn our tie around so that it looks right, and all of those things. We know how to act. But what happens when the Lord Jesus comes and speaks to our hearts? What happens? Do we fabricate an excuse? Let's look at these excuses. "The first said unto him," notice that you have to make it up. "The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." Well, I believe that that would bring before us the constraining power of possessions and riches, and how that they come to bear upon our souls. And they take such a high priority in our lives that we pray that we would be excused of that. Think of Elimelech leaving the place where there was bread. Even though there was a famine there, that famine may have been only in his own soul. But he sought a place where there was little exercise. As we discussed, that is really the meaning of Moab, where there he could be kicked back and relax and not have those consistent exercises to go through. But that is how the Lord develops those bridal affections in our hearts. And so, would you desire the Lord and pray the Lord that you would be excused of that? "I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." We can apply this in very many ways, but I think I would prefer to allow the Spirit of God to apply this portion to us as He is really able. "Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them." This would possibly bring before us that striving to get ahead in business. And this 19th verse is something that really speaks to my heart. Those that know me know the hours that I work and how easy it is they see me coming under this burden. And I appreciate the prayers of my brethren. I recognize this one. I go to prove them.
What a fool.
What a fool. And you know, sometimes as we labor in the minds of this world, and it draws and it saps away the spiritual energy of our lives, we come out of that and we taste a little of the water of refreshment. We taste a little of this great supper, and we look back and we say, what a fool. Well, these first two excuses are very foolish. Who ever heard of buying a piece of ground and not looking at it? The world would cry shame on such a thing. Who would go out and buy an oxen or a tractor, a used tractor, without checking it out, seeing if it starts? What a fool. But in verse 20, I don't think you could say he's a fool. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You know, the man, I guess I could say he is a fool, but the foolishness is not the thing that comes before me. But what comes before me in this one is a devastation. You know, if you go and buy a tractor that doesn't work, well, you just take your losses and realize you've done wrong. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. The terror. You know, I'm reminded of Samson, when that woman tempted him, and finally he said, you know, if you cut off my hair, I'll be like any other man. You know, I just pray that the Lord would preserve us from losing our hair. That which signifies our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that signifies our subjection to Him, that pilgrim character that we have that connects us with Him and delivers us from this world. Well, there he was prepared to give it up. Be like any other man? Can you imagine that? Just think of the feast that we have had. We have tasted, we have laid hold on some of those handfuls of purpose, and we've appropriated them to ourselves, and we've been so refreshed. Would you want to turn back now and be like any other man? The Lord leaves us here. We're going to have to go to work tomorrow. Got to go to school. A brother who has been recently saved and is just appreciating the kindness of the saints and appreciating the things of God, he said to me, tomorrow I have to go to work. Well, we do. But you know, we don't have to go out there and be like any other man. You know, we're children of the King. It's wonderful, isn't it? But I guess I want to make a little comment to the young people here. I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I tell you, it'd be worse, sisters, if you marry a man that is not of God. Because he is going to be the head of your life. And you definitely cannot come. We're not talking here now about you losing your salvation, but we're talking about losing out on the privileges that there are in walking with your brethren, in being drawn up near to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on, in fellowship. I can't come. And so it's those habits and our companions that we know what this is all about. Well, you know, we didn't have... I mentioned this morning that we had a lot of mighty reapers here in the last couple of days that were reaping down the field of Boaz for us, and we were fed. And we appreciated it so much. But where did those mighty reapers come from? They weren't these wealthy men here in the first part of the chapter. No, they were those In verse 21, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor. They can't afford to buy a piece of ground. The maimed. You know, they're all beat up. The halt and the blind. Couldn't get married. Nobody to have them. You know, that is the group that we had together in the last couple of days. We had those that were maimed and the poor and the halt and the blind, but you know, we came together and the Lord has wrought grace. And you know, you might just have been saved recently and you say, these mighty men and women, I could never be like that. I could never get the things out of the Word of God that they do. You just wait and see. You just wait and see. Because the Lord has brought you in for a purpose. And He says He gives a gift to everyone. And that gift is so that you can help the body. Every joint of supply. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know, He's going to have fellowship with wretched, beat up people like you and I. But are we going to respond? You know, the lures of this world, they loom up so great in front of us. And we take it and we enjoy it, the pleasures of sin for a season, and it passes away and it's gone. But the pleasures that we enjoy in the presence of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, satisfy the soul. That's what so speaks to my heart as we had in that little hymn. And so it is that as these poor people sat around and they looked at one another, do you think they said, you know, you're blind, you ought not to be here? No, because they had a sense of grace. And it's that sense of grace that Ruth had. It caused her to really appreciate what was done.
Add anything to what has already been said? I think we feel like our cups are full, and somebody has said that when your cup is full, just let it flow over. And I was thinking of that which has been just brought before us, and to turn to the Proverbs chapter 20 in that light. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. Now if we turn to Psalm chapter 71, Psalm 71 and verse 17, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Thitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Well, as it's been mentioned, when the Lord takes up the blind and the lame and the halt, He has a mighty work to do in us and a little bit to do through us. And when I think of the glory of young men, I have to say that's something that is very fascinating to me now. Working with young men, I see them pick up loads that and those muscles are rippling, and I see that strong back that is able to meet that load, and I say to myself, did I ever do anything like that? It shows that youth is gone from me now. It's long gone. And often in our prayer meetings, we pray for those that are sick and afflicted, and well if we do. But we also need to pray for those that are strong, that they might use their strength, that it might be channeled in a way that would be for the honor and glory of the Lord. Now David, when he writes here, he says, "Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth." David could recall his boyhood days out in the fields of hills of Judea, tending the sheep, and how he would lie in the green pastures, and he would reflect upon the world in which he was found to see the demonstration of God's mighty power in creation, his marvelous wisdom, and to think of the day when he made his first sling, and probably it didn't last very long, used it for a few swings and it broke on him. I think boys try slingshots that way. But every time he made a sling, he made it to last longer. There was wisdom coming to him as he had time to think, laying in the green pastures. And then to think of him going beside the still waters and looking into the brook there and seeing that cool water go by and all that that would speak to him spiritually. And then to think of him reaching his hand down in that brook and beginning to select some stones and putting them in that sling and trying to set up a target and aim at it and miss it. And to think of the wisdom that came to him as he realized that it wasn't any old stone that could be put in that sling. And so that is the way it is in spiritual things. As the Lord takes us up, we're very clumsy and backward, but never mind. That's going to be furthered with exercise. And so in connection with the young men, we that are older need you. And I've experienced working on a job, and a young man will come and say, "Why don't you let me move that ladder for you?" My reaction might be, "Well, don't you realize how many years I've been doing this? You know, I'm losing by that attitude. I'm losing something." And here the psalmist prays to the Lord. He said, "When I am old, that I might show thy strength unto this generation." What did he mean? His strength unto this generation. If you'll just allow me to make a personal reference to our brother Clark. That brother has been a sucker of my soul for many years and has shared precious things with me that has helped me to build a little better sling maybe than what I had before. I see him here now as an old man. And is he in our midst to show the strength of the Lord? Yes, he is. You know, the secret the Apostle Paul brings out in that lovely statement, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, I was speaking about those young men that look after me, realize that every time I have a birthday, I'm just getting a little weaker. And they're conscious of that, and I'm not. And they want to do things for me. I want by His grace to show the strength of the Lord in submission to their desire. And just to think of the wisdom of God, how He has bound us together from young man to 90 years old. He has bound us together in a bundle of life with the Lord our God. And that spirit of submission that we were speaking about, a lovely spirit in which we never get past showing. It must remain with us until the moment the Lord calls us home, submitting ourselves one to another. The Apostle Peter, writing just on the brink of departing out of this world, he enjoined those that were old and those that were young to submit themselves one to another. Well, this is working together. This is what we call harmony. And God in His wisdom has created us this way so that we just need each other. And so I think of the young men that God has blessed us with. And as our dear brother was speaking about 5 yoke of oxen, I felt the impact of what he said. And I trust that you did too. 5 yoke of oxen is quite a few oxen to work with. You can really make progress with 5 yoke of oxen. But just think, it's just for time and nothing in it for eternity. And so to think of that strength being channeled in such practical ways is to help a brother that's weak, get him by the arm and help him along, open the car door, carry the plate to the sink for the sister that's surged in and she's weary with life. All these things seem so small, but those are the things that God takes knowledge of, and it's a pleasure to see His people behaving in that way. And so, as our strength declines, limitations come in on us. And I remember dear old C.H. Brown as he was closing his life, visiting him down there in California. He says, "Brother, I need grace every day for the limitations that are closing in on me." Well, there's no forsaking. David said, "Forsake me not." But if our spirit has been marked by submission, there won't be any forsaking as long as we're here below. I just love to hear the visitation of those that are younger visiting the older and going to the rest homes. We visited on this trip a dear old sister out of the outskirts of Tacoma, and her heart is just radiating with the strength of the Lord. Words of encouragement to us that are younger. And I have to say, I just came away from her blessed. But you know, she acknowledged that she needed us too. She appreciated the visit and the comfort that was brought to her. And so I just close now with turning to 1 Peter because I think it's so beautiful. If I could put it this way, it's the caption of the second epistle of Peter. "That I may show thy strength to this generation." Here the Apostle Peter, perhaps the very year that he's going to depart to be with the Lord, he's saying in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." I just enjoy the thought of the present truth. There's something very special about that. I don't think at all it means that the truth changes, for the truth is unchanging, for He is unchanging. But the present truth simply means bringing forth that truth that meets the secret needs of our heart right now. I think we've felt that as we meditated on the book of Ruth together, that many of the secret needs of our hearts were met. And many of them are just by way of remembrance. And so I want to encourage the dear older ones to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in this work, For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And where there is stability with that older generation, it gives us light to follow on in the path. And especially today when we see Satan attacking every truth that has been so dear and so precious to our hearts. And the effort is not necessarily to give up the truth, but it's just to add a little bit to it, just to compromise a little bit, just to not be so straight, as it's put. Don't be so conservative. We want to be large. We want largeness of heart, but we don't want to embrace the spirit of compromise until we begin to wonder if what we've held before wasn't right. That's an awful discouraging thing. So let us be reminded by way of remembrance that He is the same. He's always the same. He'll ever be the same. And the truth will not change because of that divine and wonderful fact. May we have grace just to continue on with our faces toward heaven, pressing toward that goal.
And as our dear brother was speaking about the older ones among us, I noticed in the last few days they've said very little. And yet, to my heart, they've said more than the younger have. And I'd just like to tell you about a little sight that I saw coming off the hills of Cascade Pass, coming down into Wenatchee a couple years ago. I came down through a little pass there on Stevens Highway and came down into this little valley, and there was these fruit trees. And oh my, what a sight. You could tell they were very, very, very old fruit trees. And they were loaded with pears. I'd never seen anything like it. It was a beautiful sight. But along with that, these trees I saw, and they were just bowed and bent over. I saw a lot of props. I saw one tree that may have had, perhaps 20 or 25 props. Now, I think of you older ones here, brothers and sisters alike, as being like those old trees. And I think of the younger ones that I've seen here being like those props. And now, I suppose if those props would have been taken away, there would have been a lot of damage. Those trees, those limbs would have broken and that fruit would have been spoiled. So I think of us as younger ones coming alongside the older ones, like our brother has brought out so nicely. We can come alongside and strengthen. And there's a verse here, Isaiah 49, verse 4. This might be the thought that's going through the older one's heart. This may be prophetic of our Lord Jesus, but if we could just use this verse for a moment. Thinking about someone here that's old and might say tired. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. Well, Manasseh was an old disciple, but he was remembered in God's inspired word. And then we'll get back to this chapter in a minute. In verse chapter 46 of Isaiah, and verse 4, and even to your old age, even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Oh, that's a comfort. That's a real comfort. And then another thing I notice about old folks is they're forgotten. Kind of forgotten. You can look around, you can see they can't keep up with the conversation of us younger ones. And they can't hear so well. And they can't move about from place to place. And it looks like perhaps it's a kind of a discouraging scene. And in Isaiah 49 and verse 15 it says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Why? Because I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. My walls are continually before me. So, I'd just like to repeat what I said earlier, and I mean that. Younger brother said a lot, wonderful things, marvelous things, but the presence of these that have gone on before has said more.